collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone. Punches to the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking. I'm Dave Ennett, joined by former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. This week, the Wildcats back in action following the first of their two bye weeks. They welcome the UCLA Bruins to Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium for a 2:30 Central Time kick on Saturday. The Wildcats at 1-2 on the season after dropping their Big Ten opener to Oregon 34-14. UCLA off to an 0-3 start after falling to New Mexico in the Rose Bowl 35-10. This is their Big Ten opener. So it sure seems strange to talk about Northwestern and UCLA playing Big Ten football, but I guess we got to get used to it. Cats played Washington last year in a Big Ten game. Then they played Oregon last week, and they've still got the other of the four newest Big Ten teams, USC, to come in November out in Los Angeles. But coming up, we're going to visit with Wildcat running back Cam Porter, the three-time captain whose season was ended by a knee injury in week two against Western Illinois. We'll talk to Cam, and we'll also visit with the veteran voice of the Bruins, who's also a Northwestern alum, Josh Lewin. But Dan, I thought, you go back to the Oregon game, a loss is a loss. You're 1-2 on the season. But I thought the Cats kind of stood up against the Ducks pretty well for most of that game. It was 17-0 at halftime after a touchdown late in the first half for the Ducks. And really, I thought their defense was really, really impressive against Northwestern.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the frustrating part is, you know, they left so many plays out there, and if not for some you know, mistakes early in the game at the quarterback position, I think it would have been a much tighter game. And that's why it's so frustrating, I think, for a lot of Northwestern fans and myself. It's, if they would have lost 70-0, it was never close. You would have been like, all right, well, you know, Oregon's a great team and that one got away from us. But there were so many chances that I think Northwestern squandered, especially again at the quarterback position. That left Wildcat fans wanting more. And, you know, to your point, the defense, I thought, played really well outside of a couple of drives. They ran the ball really well and dominated the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of positives to be taken, but I think the thing that you come back to is, you know, just Preston forcing the ball a little bit, kind of making decisions that leave you scratching your head. And again, the frustrating part is he can make the hard throws and he's got a lot of confidence. He's just not really doing the easy things well, right? He's not protecting the ball. He's not, you know, staying in position and down in distance. And frankly, he's taken Northwestern out of positions to even be in the game in the first quarter, which you don't want to do, right? So I think there's tons of room for improvement. But again, you know, Northwestern can't beat themselves specifically early in the game and expect to win games, you know, in the fourth quarter.
One really impressive part, and granted, there was a 79-yard touchdown run by the redshirt freshman Deshaun Reeder in the fourth quarter, which helped these numbers, but still rushing for a net 178 yards against a very good Oregon defense. I thought is, and that's kind of been the case through the first three games of the season. Running the football has not been a problem for this team. Granted, losing Cam Porter, I think we all thought, well, this is going to be a problem now, but the guys who were playing behind Cam and Joe Hyman and Caleb Komolafe and the two freshmen now with the Reeder and Daniel Anderson, they've more than picked up the slack.
Yeah, and typically, as you know, it's been the opposite, right? Northwestern has had potent passing games and has struggled to run the ball. But I think, again, you know, the guys are stepping up, and we'll talk to Cam a bit about it in a minute. But, you know, they have a lot of talent in that running back room. I think, again, the drastic thing to me was just the ability of the Northwestern offensive line to move the line of scrimmage, right? They were establishing a new line of scrimmage 2 to 3 yards downfield. And, you know, Caleb and Joe were getting full heads of steam and biting off huge chunks. So I think it's really encouraging. And hopefully Coach Lujan continues to lean into that as it gets colder and maybe, you know, builds a little bit more confidence in Preston and the play action game. But yeah, I think, you know, the ability to play good defense and run the ball and eat up clock and hopefully not turn the ball over or get behind down in distance is a huge advantage for Northwestern. They got to lean into it.
Wildcats are averaging 178 yards a game on the ground, which puts them right kind of close to the middle of the Big Ten. But the impressive part, it's about double what they averaged per game a year ago. And this week, they are going against the bottom-ranked run defense in the Big Ten and one of the teams at the bottom in all of college football in UCLA, giving up almost 250 yards a game on the ground. So we'll talk more about that as we go along here. But Dan, let's bring in our friend running back Cam Porter. He wore number one and number four for the Wildcats, and his season sadly came to a very premature end with an injury against Western Illinois in game two of the season. Cam, thanks for joining us. First of all, how are you feeling? How are you dealing with the injury?
I'm feeling really good. I'm blessed to, have a successful surgery, and I'm back in the facility with the guys, which is, you know, what I missed the most while I was out for past week. But it's been good. You know, it's obviously a tough situation, but life is going to throw things at you. You know what I mean? It's about how you respond to it, and just trying to respond, the best I possibly can and continue to be here for the guys.
You know, that's been a recurring theme from Coach Braun right after you suffered the injury to other people around the program I've talked to and talking to you on the practice field this week, that your attitude in the face of this injury has been remarkable, and that you are still very involved in helping this team prepare for UCLA. How do you kind of get through the disappointment you might have personally and be such an uplifting source for your teammates?
It's obviously difficult, you know, not being able to play. But at the end of the day, the best way to get your mind off of it is, you know, by, you know, I don't want to say distracting yourself, but a little bit distracting yourself and getting involved in other ways, you know what I mean? Making sure that the guys in the room are prepared and making sure that, the offense as a whole is just where they need to be, man. So I'm just trying to be that guy that can, you know, be an extra set of eyes, be an extra set of ears, man, and just motivate the guys. But it's been really good so far, and as I continue to get my mobility back and stuff like that, I'm excited to really dive in even more and really help the team as much as I can.
Cam, Dan Percy here. Thanks again for joining us, and thanks again, obviously, for everything you've done for the Northwestern program over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. It's been fun to watch you play.
Thank you.
Wanted to talk a little bit more about the guys that are filling in your shoes in the running back room. Seems like there's a lot of depth there. Maybe talk about Caleb and Joe and the rest of the guys and what you're looking forward to seeing from them the rest of the season.
I mean, to put it, you know, as bluntly as possible, they're dudes, you know what I mean? They're dudes that care about the game, love the game, man, and I miss playing with them, man, because they just push me every day, you know what I mean? They push me to be the best version of myself. Now that their roles have, you know, increased even more, man, you can just see them taking it on. Full-fledged, you know what I mean? They're not blinking, you know. They've prepared themselves to be in the position that they're in. I'm proud of them, you know, top to bottom. You know, everybody in the room just works together and works hard to make sure that we're bringing the best out of each other and we're preparing each week, you know, to come out victorious.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was, you know, obviously a tough loss to Oregon, but I think that one of the things was pretty striking was just the ability of the offensive line to move the line of scrimmage and to watch those guys you just talked about run the ball. Maybe talk a little bit about the development of the offensive line and you know, how they played against Oregon, who, you know, frankly, kind of pushed those guys around for most of the game when you run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the nose. I got so much respect for those guys. Just a step that I've seen personally that they've taken from, you know, the end of last season, you know, feeling as if, you know, they didn't, weren't at their best, you know what I mean? And people, you know, kind of talked about them and disrespected them a little bit, and they took that personally into the offseason. And I'm so proud of what they've been doing. And I think that we're going to continue to rely on them, you know, and we're going to continue to trust in them, especially in the Big Ten. You know, that's how you win games, is at the line of scrimmage. And they're just going to continue to get better. That's the thing. They're not just content at where they're at. You know, they're definitely trying to find ways to improve and continue to work hard. And I'm so proud of those guys.
How about number 24 there, Deshaun Reeder? He showed some speed, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Deshaun, that's one thing Deshaun got is speed, man. And he completely trusted in it and, you know, burnt the whole defense. I was in my bed just jumping up and not jumping up and down, but, you know, excited to see him get that big run, man. He works his butt off, so I'm proud of him.
What's been the highlight for you, Cam? I mean, you kind of burst onto the scene in 2020 with the Big Ten West championship team and then had the huge game in the Citrus Bowl against Auburn. But you guys have had a lot of ups during your time in Evanston. What's been the highlight for you?
Man, I've honestly had so many. I mean, obviously you can say like the bowl games and stuff like that, but if I'm being 100% honest, like the most fun times that I've had here is when you're trying to get through the dog days of camp with the guys. And it's just, you know what I mean? It's just you and the guys. Like, it's nobody else. It's nobody else on campus. There's no other distractions. It's just you and the guys and football, man. And that's kind of like, now that I'm thinking about it, man, those are kind of the biggest highlights that I've had, man, and the most fun times that I've had here at Northwestern, if I'm being honest.
Well, and you also, as you mentioned to me this week, you also have managed to amass a couple of degrees from Northwestern during your time in Evanston.
I have. I took full advantage of, you know, attending a school like Northwestern.
Is it, so what's the football future for you? Where do you see your football career going from here? Either playing, coaching, what's next?
Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking through a lot of things and you know, trying to talk over things over with my family to make sure that I'm making the right decision. Obviously, it's an unfortunate situation, but, you know, people have come back from ACLs, and I know that for a fact. And I would hate myself to not even, you know, attempt to chase my dreams or anything like that. But like I said, you know, just still talking things over with my family and seeing where I'm going to be at. So.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate everything you've done, Cam. It's been a joy to watch you play for the Wildcats, and I look forward to seeing you the rest of this season around this team, and I know you'll do great things in the future, but you've always been great with your time with Dan and with Ted and me, and I appreciate it, and we will, I'm sure, see you on the practice field.
Sounds like a plan. I appreciate you guys so much.
All right, now, Dan, let's bring in our friend Josh Lewin, the veteran play-by-play voice of the UCLA Bruins, now in his 10th season, who also, by the way, happens to be a Northwestern alum. But, Josh, always good to catch up with you. And it's not like there's been much news happening around the team that you cover, has there?
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy, and I was saying to you off air, I really haven't even been around. You know, I mean, we had the bye week just like you had the bye week, so I got out of Dodge, and I was quite on the schedule before all the stuff started coming down. But you could sense there was going to be stuff coming down. You know, I mean, they're every bit of 0-3 against, you know, one good team, Utah, and two very mediocre teams, UNLV and New Mexico, and coming off a 5-7 season, and they thought they had spent their NIL money wisely and all of that. It just, it was not setting up for success. So I understand why they felt like they had to make a move.
Josh, what's been the most disappointing part of that 0-3? Has it been their defense? Because their defense last year wasn't like it is this year. I mean, I know they lost a bunch of guys, but they've kind of fallen off the cliff.
Yeah, I think part of it is they brought in guys that they thought were good, you know, and so far it just hasn't worked out that way. And you really, you know, it's such a grab bag, what we're all finding out, right, with the transfer portal, where you're kind of making some broad assumptions. Well, you know, this guy was stuck behind so-and-so, or he was hurt, and, you know, once we get him here, we'll shine him up and turn him loose. And, you know, if you hit on three or four of those guys, that's great. I don't think that, that hope is a strategy, though. And I think that that's what they've kind of found out, was that they, you know, they kind of bought low on some guys. And then, you know, it sounds so cheesy that that's what college athletics has become, but that is where we are. And, yeah, they haven't quite, you know, gotten the whole ROI, to put it in Shark Tank terms. So disappointing, and I, you know, I don't even think you can say guys are underachieving. I think they're actually achieving. They just haven't coalesced, and you know, I think they didn't bring in quite the product that they needed to.
Josh, Danforth here. Thanks again for joining us. Sid, to your point, I feel like watching those games, you know, they're very talented. They got the guys. It's just they're not playing very inspired. And they just seem, when they get to the second half, to fall off a cliff. Do you think it's just from the lack of chemistry or of energy, or where's that?
Yeah, I think that's a very important point, that, you know, when you bring in 59 new guys and none of them really know each other, there is something to that where, you know, who knows how it's all going to click or if it's going to click. And, you know, Deshaun Foster was very good at, and I don't mean this dismissively or pejoratively, but he was very good at making acronyms, you know, that sounded good. So, you know, one of his big ones was DRE, discipline, respect, enthusiasm. But you hit it. Like, I didn't see any enthusiasm in those three games that were just played. Discipline was completely out the window in the last two. They had 13 penalties and 14 penalties. It was just, you know, like watching the Raiders play from back in the Phil Villapiano years. You know, I mean, it was just like, what are they even doing out there? And in terms of respect, you know, that's a tough one to quantify, I guess. But, you know, I don't really see a lot of respect for teammates or coaches or the uniform or any of that when, like you say, they just kind of, you know, the helium starts leaking out of the balloon in the second half. So I think that was part of the change, too. That, look, I mean, aspirationally, DRE sounds great. Discipline, respect, enthusiasm, those are great pillars. But if none of those pillars are actually standing, then it just doesn't work.
Visiting with Josh Lewin. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was going to say one more thing, and I wasn't aware of this rule because the rules seem to change every day. But apparently, you know, when a coach gets fired mid-season, you know, there's a 30-day transfer window that opens up. Is that correct? And is there any, you know, flight risk in the UCLA team given the way things are going? You know, specifically with the quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean, haven't heard anybody say that I'm out or anything like that. I mean, you know, a bunch of guys certainly could have done it by now. And who knows? I mean, if they lose Northwestern and there's another, you know, 0-3 that follows the existing 0-3, and it's just, you know, I mean, who knows where it all goes. But as of right now, nobody's left the program, and I do like to hear that. It's a great campus. It's a great university. And, I mean, you know, there's so much going for it. Rose Bowl obviously is a hell of a place to play your home games. So, you know, it should be a juggernaut, and it used to be. It wasn't that long ago that this was a perennial top 20. It's never really been a perennial top 5 or top 10, but, you know, it was always kind of a top 20-ish program. Always turned out a linebacker or two, a running back or two, occasionally a quarterback. You know, Bears fans remember Cade McNown, and, you know, I mean, so there's a history, there's a lineage. It just should not be as saggy as it's gotten. I mean, this is the fifth or sixth 0-3 start they've had in the last 86 years or something like that. So, I you know, the good news is the guys that are here seem like, at least for now, Dan, that they're committed to ride this out this season, and hopefully Tim Skipper can help them find what they got.
By the way, and we're visiting with Josh Lewin, before we let you go, people talk about, look, there are no easy games in the Big Ten. We know that. But UCLA's schedule is just, I mean, you kind of go through it and you look, well, where's that game where we can kind of get better? And, you know, after this game on the road, then you go home, play Penn State, go to Michigan State, go home, play Maryland, which looked really good Saturday against Wisconsin. I mean, it just gets tougher and tougher. I want to ask you, Josh, as a Northwestern alum, and I know you've been back here with the basketball team, but now you're going to get your first look at Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium. That has to be kind of cool, huh?
I am so excited, and I actually did, you know, kind of hop the fence and was walking around it when we came in there and played you guys in in basketball in early March. It was a nice enough day. And that was a memorable basketball game too. You guys had that 13-0 run right at the end and really should have won that game. But, very cool to get back on campus. I'm, knocking around the old Lambda Chi fraternity house, and I'm, going to Buff Joe's and just, all the, that part was amazing. And I can't wait to come back and do that again, a whole new set of people to bring to my old haunts for the first time. So that'll be, be really, really fun. But, the stadium, and I'm so glad we got a 2:30 kick too, right? I mean, it's going to be nice and warm and just, sunshine on the lake and, and with the time difference, obviously, I'm thinking, if you guys get that 11 a.m. kick, that's a 9 a.m. kick for people in L.A., then nobody's going to look forward to that. So, no, this works out perfect.
Well, make sure you get a chance to drive along Central Street and take a look at the new Ryan Field, because I think you'll be pleasantly surprised to see how much is already up there on the site of the old Ryan Field. And we appreciate your time as always. I'll look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Yeah, man, keep my seat warm. And it's going to be weird not going to Mustard's like right before the game. But I guess it's a bit of a walk now to go do that. So all good. Yeah, I can get there and back. That's true. Thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing you.
All right. Thank you, Josh.
All right, guys. Be well. See you Saturday.
All right. Josh Lewin, the voice of the UCLA Bruins. And I mentioned the schedule. They've got Penn State at home next week, Michigan State, Maryland at home, at Indiana, Nebraska at home, at Ohio State, Washington. And then, of course, they got their rivalry game with USC. That is a tough schedule, but the Cats will shed no tears for them, because after next week is homecoming, their non-conference finale against Louisiana Monroe. It's a trip to Happy Valley to take on Penn State. Then the last game at Northwestern Medicine Field against Purdue before back-to-back road games sandwiched around a bye week, Nebraska and USC. So tough road ahead, and you got an 0-3 team coming in. Dan, it just seems like one of those games. It's scary from a number of standpoints, because rarely did teams go winless. And, UCLA's got the talent to win games. But on the other hand, they're down, and they've just been through a coaching change. They have an interim head coach and Tim Skipper, and this is when you want to jump on them.
Yeah, 100%. I think, as you know, teams typically go two different ways after they fire their coach. They either, go to the basement and lose every game, or it galvanizes them and they start to play really well. So we'll see what UCLA team shows up on Saturday. But for Northwestern, it's like, this is one you got to have, right? You played decently well against Oregon, but made a lot of dumb mistakes, in my opinion. Hopefully the team regroups, kind of starts to find an identity on offense, and hopefully that's running the ball a little bit more and pressed and protecting the ball and protecting possessions. But yeah, this is as must win as it gets for Northwestern to kind of get their season back on the rails and hopefully build momentum in the next week and beyond. Cause it, to your earlier point, there's no freebies in the Big Ten.
No, they're sure right. As Josh mentioned, the forecast is great for Saturday, sunny. I think the temperature's like around 80 degrees. Should be a real nice day for football on the lakefront. And Mr. Persa will be joining me in the booth for the next two games as my regular partner, Ted Albrecht, takes time off for a couple personal obligations. So, Dan, 2:30 kickoff Saturday. We'll be on the air at 2 o'clock Central Time, and look forward to chatting with you then.
It'll be awesome. Thanks again.
All right. That's Dan Persa. Thanks to Cam Porter for joining us, Josh Lewin, and our producer, Jack Heinrich. For Dan Persa, I'm Dave Annett. 2 o'clock Saturday, the Cats and UCLA from Evanston. We'll talk to you then, and thanks for joining us on Collegiately Speaking.